podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you'll need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the code AAA at checkout. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one account. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit allaboutandroid.ting.com. That's allaboutandroid.ting.com. Welcome to All About Android, episode 134, recorded on Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
Boy, just a little bit of a week that happened, right?
Yeah, not much. It's a slow news week. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Nothing new to talk about at all.
No, definitely not an entire revision to the platform and a new device that we've seen leaked every which way since Sunday.
Strategically leaked.
Yes. Well, that's one thought. It could have all been a strategy. Joining us today, we are super excited to welcome Cameron Summerson, senior editor at Android Police. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
It's awesome having you here. And honestly, when you take a look at the rundown that we have, you realize this was the perfect week for a representative of Android Police to come on. First of all, we love the work that you guys do at Android Police. So much of it is so incredibly detailed and really gets kind of underneath Android to a certain extent. And this week was a perfect example of that. You guys were all over KitKat. Really impressive. Hey,
man,
stuff.
All the love goes to the news team for that, man. They absolutely killed it.
Yeah. I mean, they were releasing like article after article after article after breakdown after, you know, insight. And it was just if what you needed was insight into the nitty gritty of KitKat specifically, especially, there really weren't other outfits that were doing that kind of detail that I was seeing. More summary, more broad scope, but you guys were really getting in there. So
yeah, we actually have four guys who are machines and run 24 hours a day on nothing but coffee.
Yeah, so, coffee does that.
They just keep pushing it out all the
old
time.
Old school coffee, not even Red Bull.
I know, right?
Just coffee. Yeah, it's more affordable that way. We can keep them running longer.
Yeah. You gotta respect that. That's an old school newsman. Yeah, I respect it.
I see what you did there. See. Yeah. Before we get into all of the stuff that we're kind of talking about vaguely at this point, real quick here, distribution numbers for Android.
Well, real quickly, let's do some numbers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, I feel like every time we do this, like there's less and less to say about it.
Yeah.
Jelly bean 52.1%, gingerbread 26.3%, ice cream sandwich 19.8%, everything else inconsequential, more or less.
Man, that froyo still hanging on.
Yeah.
Gingerbread.
Froyo will die off soon. Gingerbread, it's going to be a while. But of course, this gets a lot more complicated next month.
Because now we got KitKat.
Because now we have KitKat. So
I just called
another
it KitKat.
Slice of the pie.
Yeah. If it were key lime pie, those pie graphs would be totally fitting. Just saying.
Yeah, they missed out on the color coordination with the new name. Speaking of the new name, I was in my local hated Walgreens by my office, and in the impulse aisle, there is a bowl of Kit Kats with an Android on it going, win a Nexus. Like the Kit Kat promotion has hit the States, and it's here, and yeah, it's out there. So.
Yeah.
I did not buy a Kit Kat, though, because I already have a Nexus 7.
Yeah, but you could get another one and give it to me.
I should have done it.
See?
So, yeah.
It's only real if it's at Walgreens.
Yes, yeah. And the impulse placement of it in the aisle where you're waiting to pay is perfect because you're there for a half an hour because they have one person running a register
usually,
and 20 people
online. Yeah,
but so you're contemplating the Kit Kat for that long.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Good point. Playing the bumper probably doesn't make much sense because it's all news today. So we don't, whatever.
Play the news bumper.
Why not? I mean, it feels kind of naked without it.
I can't. Yeah, I can't do the show unless I have the bumpers. I won't know what part. We're still in the intro.
Audio. Yeah, exactly. To juggle your memory. Okay, so there was no event, no real lead up, just an embargo that seemed to lift for a few publications and then a few Google press releases and a playlist of videos recorded at Google Developers Live showcasing various pieces of the new platform. So what did Google announce? They announced, of course, Android 4.4, KitKat, and as well the new Nexus 5 device. We're going to get into all this stuff today and break it down in gory detail.
Do you think it was a coincidence it was Halloween?
No, not at all. And yeah. I know we weren't the only ones to do this, but we called it like 4 or 5 weeks beforehand and said, I wouldn't be surprised if they rolled this out on Halloween. Yeah. And sure enough, it did. I know we're not the only ones to do that.
Well, we can take credit for it. We can take credit
Let's take credit Let's for that just yes, a little yeah, bit.
There you go. We called it. We broke it.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two overarching themes of KitKat, I think, through reading through this. Bringing more of the Google stuff into Android. In other words, really making search an integral part of the OS in a way that it never that it hasn't been until now. And then, as Sundar Pichai later said, reaching the next 1 billion users, and that's by lowering hardware requirements that's needed to run the latest version of Android. So Sundar Pichai had this to say. First of all, smartphone penetration is less than 5% in emerging markets for 2014. Our goal is how do we reach the next billion people? Thank you, Sundar.
it's never not funny.
I know. High class. Yeah. Classing it up around here. So that's emerging markets. Mexico, India, Brazil, Russia, Indonesia. They sell a ton of Android devices, but many of those are low-end devices, and as a result, they launch brand new with Gingerbread. So this is really an effort to make sure that you know they're lowering that requirement. 512 megs of RAM is all that's needed to run KitKat, and that's lower than the newer version of Androids Android versions have required in the past. How effective do you think this is going to be, Cameron? Do you think this is... I think it's a smart move for Google, but what are your thoughts on this?
I definitely think that this is smart because they're doing a lot to put the newest version of Android in the hands of people where it wouldn't normally be, and they're also going to be able to knock Gingerbread off of the chart with this, as long as manufacturers will embrace the fact that it's going to run, on 512 megs of RAM. The only thing that I'm curious about is how well it's actually going to run on 512. I actually want to get my hands on something just to see, because I mean, obviously it runs great on the Nexus 5, but that's all we have we don't have any comparison right now.
Sure. And a directly rolled out from Google comparison or from a manufacturer that says this was created for this device. You know, I'm sure there are ROM developers, you know, making this happen right now. I think I saw the Nexus S as a version of KitKat that's running on it.
I should dig up my Nexus S.
Keep the dream alive. Yeah. Go ahead and let's talk to Sundar again. He also said, because this is just fun, why not do it twice? What we call today fragmentation, those people wouldn't have gotten those smartphones without the ability to ship them with Gingerbread. Unlike other players, and of course, you can infer who he's talking about, we aren't focused on a segment of the market. Internally, we wake up and we think, how can we make something for everyone? And I think that's just a great summary of kind of what KitKat is all about. It's kind of hopefully bringing the power of the next version of Android to a greater number of people. And that's good for the platform. That's good for developers because hopefully their apps, run well on those powered devices, but maybe they won't. Maybe the OS is going to run great and the apps won't. I don't know.
And it's probably interesting. I mean, this reference to fragmentation and like, do you think that what happened, of course they didn't plan for it, but this is the reaction to, okay, we need to kind of curb this fragmentation and just set a level set for everyone to reach everyone, you know, to avoid these operating systems, being out there for a while. I mean, like, it seems like they're addressing the fragmentation head on with this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about this, Gina?
I think that this is a really tough sort of fence to straddle. To build something that's good enough for anyone, that's good that runs really well in underpowered devices, and yet to still ship a product that pleases power users. Because let's face it, like some of the cutting edge users and the very tech savvy users are going to have really high powered devices that have that like Google layer proprietary services, Google Play services, and all the Google apps and games. And these are bandwidth hungry, CPU hungry, memory hungry apps, right? So building a platform that can be both, it's not easy. You know, like Apple focuses on one segment of the market, not just because they're like, profit hungry monsters, right? That they want to focus on one particular experience. So while one of the things that I love about Android is that it is about getting, the next billion people online, and I very much believe in the power of that and what an important mission that is. It also, as someone who designs products, like that's a tough thing to do. So mm-hmm. I applaud them, but I'm also a little wary because there's always that chance that you make something that's sort of mediocre for everybody versus really good for some people,
Reminds me of Windows ME. Remember that? Yeah, right? I mean, it was like a lighter, less bloated version of Windows that didn't work for anyone. That was like,
yeah, right.
So, yeah.
And not to be a downer, it's just it's the thing that strikes me. I think it's an important part of Android's mission, but I'm also concerned about making one thing that fits everyone is hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone has the resources to do it, it's Google for sure.
I mean, does KitKat is there a scaling that's happening here that supports lower end devices differently than higher end devices? Or I don't.
Does it pick up?
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the
progressive
answer.
Enhancement, right? Yeah. Like the more resources you have, more hardware resources, the better things run. But then be able to sort of degrade gracefully. Yeah. That's a good question. And that's why I think it's important for folks like us and like Cameron was saying, to get these underpowered devices and see what is this experience really like.
Sure. Well, let's pick apart KitKat a little bit. Starting with software, Gina.
Give me a break.
Yeah, break me off a piece of that KitKat. With the software.
There's tons of improvements here. Okay, let's just go down the list and then maybe we talk about which one of these things are impressed us the most. First, we've got touchless voice commands. The OK Google command is hardware dependent, Moto X like, and right now only the Nexus 5 has access to it. Voice commands from the home screen and Google Now. Immersive mode, full screen apps that hide the nav bar and the status bar. The user can pull down from the top to bring them back. So that's really awesome. Nice for games and immersive content. Translucent notification and navigation in home and supported apps. So you can make the navigation bar look really pretty. You can show the background through it. Emoji in the keyboard. Who doesn't like emoji?
Emoji, the phone man.
Is getting a caller ID and Yellow Pages lookup. So if somebody from a business calls you, Google will check Google Maps. If they've got a business page, they'll show you the business name and an image, which looks really nice. New SMS rules. So one app is registered as the default SMS app to send and receive text messages. Native screen recording. This is kind of exciting. Kind of exciting to me as a developer. Any resolution to MP4. And this could mean better Play Store demos for the apps that we want to buy. Storage access framework. Apps prompting for file browsing will trigger the sidebar nav menu with access to recent files, cloud storage providers, and internal file storage. And
that's cool.
Photo editor.
That's huge.
Yeah, so there's a lot here. A lot here.
There's just so much to be excited about with KitKat. So many new things that are just... I think the first thing that strikes me is immersive mode. I mean, and the fact that you can actually pull the navigation bar down from immersive mode is just... God, it was needed so badly because, you go into a full screen game, you get a notification, and you're like, what's the notification? You have to exit the game, come back, and it drove me crazy.
That happened to me yesterday. I hate that. Yeah. I hate that so much.
I'm really glad that that's a thing that Google decided needed to be fixed because they definitely needed to be fixed.
Not to mention, I mean, what I thought of with immersive mode is, I've got some games for like my almost 4-year-old daughter, and often the little navigation buttons are just always there. They're ever present, whatever. And she's always bumping them. It's like, give me immersive mode so that they disappear and then I can bring it back if I need to. And then I'm not like going to the phone every 2 minutes because who knows how she got where she was. Lazy parent problem, basically. So I'm like, yay.
Show. It's great.
I know.
The phone like the Yellow Pages lookup is really cool.
That's very cool.
But it just doesn't go far enough. Like the caller ID Yellow Pages lookup. I mean, I honestly don't use my phone to make phone calls that often. In fact, it's my least favorite thing to do on my phone.
Yeah.
But when a number calls me that I don't know who it is, that's not in my contacts. First of all, if it's an area code, Google should be able to tell me this is the area code, you know, where it's coming from. And I think it does do that. But I feel like there's just more. This is an internet connected device. It could be able to tell me more about this number. So I like that businesses are getting that, but I want it to go even further and be white pages and individuals as well.
Well, I think that then you run into everybody screaming privacy and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, I think businesses is kind of like, this is a public facing number.
Right.
I think you'll see a lot of people going, I don't want my number shown. And
I can show it off right now. I actually got a call yesterday, Chad, if you want to take my phone. I do have the Galaxy Nexus here still. I'm running a 4.4 stock port on it called Shiny, which is what I was running before. A little glitchy, but it's allowing me to be, you know, in this world until I get my next device, which we'll talk about later. But I mean, this is what happened. I have no idea who this company is. Every once in a while, I get random calls to my Google Voice number that I just don't know who it is. And yet I got a caller ID kind of blurb on it. So totally useful.
Well,
that's awesome.
I mean, this is great. I mean, it's like when I get I don't answer the phone if I don't recognize the number, and I can't tell you how many times I'm getting the call and I'm frantically typing in the number on Google to do a lookup to see who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so this just kind of cuts that piece out. Yeah. But we've seen this in other apps. I mean, how many other apps have we seen that have been out there in the Play Store that basically do this, that are either overlays or different phone apps that allow this? So it's just I think it's funny. I think it's a great integration, and it's like makes perfect sense giving all the information Google has, but it's another case of we've seen the developer community, you know, innovate in here, and now Google is, yeah, we're going to do that, and we're going to make it better, and we're going to make it, you know, that much more tighter.
But it really ties into Google's
service. Oh, it ties in perfectly.
Entirely.
Yeah, it's great. Right. In fact, it's the kind of thing where you're like, why didn't we have this sooner?
Yeah.
So,
am I mistaken? Cameron, maybe you know this. I feel like I read somewhere that eventually, if it doesn't already, there will be reverse lookup for people with Google IDs as well? Is that right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I kind of like you. I think I read something about this, but I'm not entirely sure. It's kind of a gray area.
Because that
sounds going to happen with that.
That sounds interesting and powerful, yet also kind of, you know, the privacy aspect of that sounds kind of interesting.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind something where users could opt in to let Google know their own information and then share it with.
Right.
There was actually an app called Mr. Number. I think it was called Mr. Number. It was actually pulled from the Play Store for privacy violation, but it did exactly that. It would let its users share their phone number and their name. And the problem with it was it also shared the contact book, which you're at that point, you're sharing other users' information. But anyway, sure. Same basic principle. You know, it shared your information, your name and number. So then if you called another Mr. Number user who you'd never called before, your name showed up. I would like to see something like that without the option, obviously, of sharing my own phone book, because I'm not going to share anybody else's information.
Sure. Absolutely. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I know the white pages are public and all that sort of stuff. So if it's public information, it can pull from that. But it's that fine line between public and private information and how much gets exposed. And
so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Ever since I started using Google Voice, like I'm a lot less concerned about publishing or giving out my phone number, because I feel like I have a lot more control about what happens with calls that come in. So part of me is like, well, when everybody has a Google Voice number, it'll be less of a big deal to share it. I mean, I guess there's not really that much of a difference. But if someone makes their number public on their Google Plus profile or you know,
sure,
explicitly says, like, this is my phone number, this is my business's phone number, it seems like, you know, that should be a big deal. But I can see how that could creep people out.
Yeah. But nice to see revision to kind of the dialer, which felt like it was long overdue. Nice.
Yeah,
for some sort of an update.
It's funny because, you know, last week I was talking about how there are certain categories of apps that I've been looking for that I'm like, I just want the cool version of this app. A couple weeks ago, I'm like, there's got to be a cooler dialer in here. Like, you know, looking through the apps, they're trying to find it. Lo and behold, Google was already working on it. So,
Yep, they were. Yeah. The voice commands from the home screen, I think, is a big deal. In my short amount of time of playing with KitKat on my phone, that's awesome. Like, not having to think about it. It just means you're going to use voice commands more when you don't have to explicitly go in and push a button. You can just kind of do it when you're staring at the lock screen or at the launcher. It's not as deep as Moto X, where you can do it completely touchless necessarily. I don't believe that's part of the Nexus 5.
No, capability, right? I was really depressed about that too. Yeah. I wanted it to be so bad. I wanted that. I just wanted to be able to talk to my phone, and without turning the screen on, you know, just a quick Google search. And I was kind of disappointed when I got it and realized that wasn't the
it's
case.
It's like we got halfway there.
It's still
so how
a lot
does it
more
work?
Convenient than it, well, you, as long as you're on the home screen, if you're on the home screen, it'll register the hot words. Okay, Google. But you have to be on the home screen or in Google Now.
So the phone has to be alive and unlocked.
So I'm in the home screen right now. I say, okay, Google. And
there you go.
Oh, well, I did it on,
it worked on the other phone.
I didn't do it on mine. I might be. I'm telling you, my ROM is very buggy, but it worked on the Nexus 5. Yeah, so that's the important thing.
Let's do it again.
Okay, Google.
There it is. Hey, oh, and it worked on yours, too. There you go. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing about that, like the Moto X actually uses, you have to program it and it will only respond to your own voice. And I love that. Yeah. And I kind of wish this was the same way because I saw a video, just like a short clip earlier, where someone, like people were sitting around, there were like three people with Nexus 5s, and somebody shouts, okay, Google. And they all just like explode with a voice command.
That's what happened here. I mean, that's what's, you know, and that voice recognition aspect is so key. So why, like, do you think they held that back as a value add for the Moto X?
I really do.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, like as like, hey, get the Moto X so you can do this.
Ron's got the marketing guy thought process going on. I like that. No, that's true. You're probably right.
Or is it just an indication that Google and Motorola truly are separate entities and they work on their own things?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just devil's advocate. I don't know. I don't know. But anyways, it's very cool. It definitely inspires you to use the voice command for search and makes it a lot more usable from that regard. So very cool stuff. Anything else in this software block before we move on that really stood out for you?
Just cool stuff. Yeah. I mean, like the new photo
native
editor.
Native screen recording. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, the native screen recording, like Gina mentioned, that I didn't expect to see that at all. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That should be great for walkthroughs and tutorials and demos.
Yeah,
and,
although I think I read earlier today that it's capped at like 30 some odd seconds of record time. So doing like a long recording, at least at this point, maybe there's a way to extend it or something. But
now, do you think that's because of media? Like, so you can't record a video of YouTube or something? You
know? No, because they have, I think they also have some sort of DRM kind of protection in there built into it, so you couldn't just record a video.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can you record, you know, your Snapchat the photo retrieval? I mean, there have to be ways to disable that, right?
It's 3 minutes.
It's also, you know, it can't be executed directly from the device. It's an ADB command, which to me I thought was kind of strange because, I mean, we have native screenshots by holding two buttons. Why not native recording by holding two buttons? But because that's what I thought it was going to be when I first read about it. So, but it's still cool. Nonetheless, it's a lot easier than, you know, root the phone, try to find an app that's not buggy, that'll work on your chipset and et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know, I've had to do it 1,000 times before, so I'm happy to see it.
Yeah. Try and find an app that's not buggy. It works all the time. I've been trying to do that so that I could bring it into the arena for so long and I never felt comfortable enough with an app that I found to do it. So,
especially on the Galaxy Nexus, that was a really hard chipset to get a good screen recording, on.
Then that explains why I have so many problems with it. So, Ron, these are more like hardware support / updates.
Sure, some interesting stuff. First off, they've added audio tunneling to the digital signal processor. Which allows you to save battery while playing audio. So basically what that does is that kind of offloads the audio processing to the DSP, and they're estimating that that's going to give you up to 50% of savings in terms of your battery. And a test with the Nexus 5 showed music playback extended from 30 hours without the DSP tunneling to 60 hours with the new feature enabled. So, you know, I know for me,
we use our devices for probably most.
I use my phone to listen to music on my commute, in the car, like all the time. And so, you know, and it does kill the battery. I mean, like I went down about a quarter, a full 25% of my battery on my commute in this morning because I was streaming from Google Play Music. And if the DSP signal processing can help, then that will make your battery life go that much more. We talked about it a little earlier. The better performance on devices with not much RAM, with 512 megabyte as a minimum. It's dubbed Project Svelte.
I love it.
And they're doing that through a bunch of different ways. And this gets really super hardware and techie and that sort of thing. But they're doing things like a lot of Dalvik JIT code cache tuning. They've got kernel same page merging, swapping memory to ZRAM. Tune out of memory levels for processes, better control of setting graphics cache sizes, and control that memory reclaim. And we've talked about these things, the memory reclaim and things like that. It's interesting to see them trying to refine it, and all goes towards that, you know, 512 as a minimum. But it's interesting to note that this won't make older devices work better.
Right.
Which is, I think, an important note. So if you've got a Galaxy Nexus or an older device, you're still somewhat limited by the hardware of that device. Mm-hmm. So that's a key thing, you know, mainly with the Galaxy Nexus's aging OMAP issue. So there you go. Also, they've got hardware sensor batching support. So sensor events deliver in chunks and not individually. So it saves battery performance over time. Do you see a theme here? Saving battery and performance.
This is like, remember when the rumor was, what was it? Roadrunner?
Yeah.
Like a year, you know, short after Project Butter was an actual thing. Yep. It was like, oh, the next thing is going to be Roadrunner. It's going to be all about extending your battery. Yep. And then it was found that it was, you know, a total hoax and Roadrunner didn't exist or whatever, but except it kind of did. It's just not called Roadrunner. It's just
it's smelt.
This other thing that Google happened to be working on.
Oh, man.
So some of the other things that it has is native sensor support for a step detector to detect step and then perform actions, and step counters to log steps in an accumulated number, mm-hmm. which is interesting when we get to the arena. They've got IR blaster support, so you can now use infrared for sending, not receiving, but that's a function that a lot of people have wanted for a while, so now you can send via IR.
I thought it was kind of, well, actually, yeah. we'll talk about the next yeah. five in a little bit.
Happy news for HTC One Google Play Edition yeah. owners yes. like myself.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
This one's interesting for you office types. Printing support. Now you can print to any printer over Wi-Fi or through the Google Cloud Print service. So if you've been dying for your printing services for your office, there you go. You got it.
There's even a setting in the settings. Yeah, there's a printing setting now.
It's great. There. Fantastic. See, it's truly integrated into the modern office.
It just seemed like such a weird thing to add. It just came out of nowhere. Printing support.
What I love is that there's like two guys that work in the printing section of Google. Like they run the cloud print service. They're like, hey, can we get in this version? And they're like it's on the roadmap. And they've been like asking for like, you know, and they're like, come on, we're doing really cool stuff. You can print from it. Like, it's
I feel like this is Google. Cloud print is Google's answer to faxing. Like, I think this is Google's way of being like, don't fax it, cloud print it to wherever. You know, I think yeah. there really is a vision of like everybody has a cloud printer and you could just send people paper that way, even yeah. though it's insane.
So a couple more. NFC opens wide for developers, removing the secure element requirement. So that's a step forward for NFC. So that's interesting. And then finally, support for Bluetooth Map, which is message access profile. So a lot of Bluetooth-enabled cars for the past couple of years have been map-enabled. And so this is going to improve Android's SMS and MMS functionality with cars. So those of you who have paired your devices to your cars, looking for better SMS support, now the Maps service will allow that. So interesting.
I know I have in one of our cars a Bluetooth. I wonder if it has map support and what that would actually mean. I guess I kind of understand this.
So you can get the text message to the car.
So for like the readout?
Yeah, on the readout or whatever. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't have a car.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure
out. It enhances that connection.
I could see the hardware sensor batching being a big deal.
Yes.
From a battery perspective and a performance perspective, and basically taking all those sensor events and not reporting them in real time, or collecting them and then sending it in one straight shot. And in the way that Google wants to make Android more dependent around these, you know, these sensors, that seems like in aggregate over time, that's going to save a lot of battery. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw those keywords, you know, battery and performance and extending and all that sort of stuff, is that they're truly trying to do what they can on the OS level to work with the hardware to extend that battery life, to let it exist, because nobody wants to charge their phone all the time. And, you know, and subtle thing as audio DSP processing, you know, look at the savings that it provides and that batching, look at the savings it provides. When that all adds up, then it becomes a notable improvement over previous versions.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Cool stuff. Did we miss anything? I'm sure we did.
So much.
There really
There's
is.
There's a lot of low-level stuff in this in KitKat, so...
And it goes back down to powered device experience, you know, a lot of this battery stuff as well.
Okay, so security. This one, when I gave myself this and started researching it, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is good. Security's great. And then I came across one and, you know, realized for our audience, it's probably going to be a big deal, but I'll get to that in a second. So Android Sandbox gets SE Linux changes. This was actually originally introduced in 4.2 to restrict software to running at a bare minimum privilege level. And that ultimately minimizes the impact of malicious software. In 4.4, it actually defaults to enforcing mode, meaning that malicious apps can't change or disable that security. So that's good. Encryption improvements in the platform in a number of ways. VPNs are applied per user of the device. So if it's a shared tablet, that VPN can be applied to a specific user of the device. And then app permission controls introduced in 4.2.3 have been removed, which is kind of interesting. So we talked about this a while back and, oh yeah, it's good to have, you know, permission controls on a per app basis. It seems like it's been dropped from 4.3. And no real understanding or reason why. I wonder why it's not there anymore.
Interesting.
That seemed like a good thing. But anyways, this last one kind of sounded to me and to a lot of the community, the enthusiast community, is kind of a big deal. I think for our audience, it's very applicable. So listen up if you are a rooter or ROMer of your device. Things can get much more difficult for you starting with 4.4. Something called Verified Boot, also known as Device Mapper Verity. It's a security measure that, quote, prevents persistent rootkits that, that was a spell check, rootkits that can hold root privileges and compromise devices. What does this mean? Essentially, it will no longer be possible to gain root to a device with a locked bootloader. Through an exploit, which on many devices is how you gain root. You know, a device comes out, the bootloader's locked, so that, you know, the people that know what they're doing, they go in there and they search for exploits, and eventually they find an exploit, which is a way in. That gives them access to the root level, and then they can kind of create around that, so, you know, they can exploit that entry on all similar devices, and boom, you're able to root your device. DM Verity is, and I was talking with Jason Applebaum about this on chat earlier. He was very helpful, and we need to have him back on the show at some point.
It's been a while.
Been a long time. Yeah. He said it's a block-level data verification tool, and all future Android devices with 4.4 are going to have this in the build. Device makers can choose to enable it, but if a device has an unlocked bootloader, you're not going to have any problems. This doesn't apply to you. If it's locked and is utilizing DM Verity as a security measure, good luck rooting that device. It's not to say that it's impossible, but it's much more difficult. Bitdefender actually analyzed and said this means that alternative ROMs like CyanogenMod, Paranoid Android, or others will have a hard time getting on devices other than developer or Nexus ones running stock Android. So there you go. I don't know. I have a feeling a lot of people that watch, you know, the Android podcasts in particular are enthusiasts enough to potentially be rooting and ROMing their devices. It's going to make things more difficult. What do you know about this, Cameron? What do you think about this?
You know, I'm actually kind of on the fence about this because I think it's a good idea.
Yep.
Just from a pure security standpoint, you know, for the root community, it's bad.
Right.
Bad, I'll say quotes. but for the average user, which is like what? I don't know.
Most 80, of them.
85%. it's most people.
Exactly.
It's good. I mean, because these horrible, terrible, scary, bad exploits that you read about on random websites, this is the type of stuff. These are the type of vulnerabilities that they're leveraging to get inside people's devices and do things they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So I like this for the fact that somebody like, you know, my mom can go buy an Android device and doesn't have to worry about really anything. I mean, this makes it a lot more secure. But yeah, at the same time, the root community, the modding community as a whole, it takes a huge hit. So at this point, what do? You know, you buy a developer device, you buy a Nexus device, but then you have people like, you know, mentioned CyanogenMod, who just formed a company basically based completely around building custom ROMs. So it's definitely a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you nailed it there. Like, I don't think Google is doing this to slight, developers like CyanogenMod or Paranoid Android. They're doing it to make the platform more secure. If that is beneficial to them,
it's a byproduct.
I was going to say, if that is beneficial to them in the long run, then that's a nice byproduct.
There's a suit chomping on a cigar going, yeah, this is a good plan.
But does Google care?
Do they? I don't know.
It means that there are going to be specific phones that rooters, ROMers are going to buy, the ones that are unlocked. And it also means that for a company like CyanogenMod, it's going to be about the partnerships that they can form.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even more so now.
The weekend hacker. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So CyanogenMod, the company, has even more reason to go legitimate, right? Because they have to form these partnerships in order to distribute onto more devices.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the one saving grace there is that companies, manufacturers can choose to enable this feature, which I think in a lot of cases, the carrier, especially here in the U.S., the carrier is going to force them. If your particular device is going to be on our network, you're going to have to enable this feature. But the fact that they have the option, I think, is good, because then when companies like CyanogenMod form these partnerships, then they have the option of saying, okay, we're going to release this device. It will be unlockable or this will not be enabled. So I think that's good.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. Wow. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So go, Ron, next.
Gina's
up next. I'm up next. Talking developer changes or changes for developers. I'll run through these pretty quickly. First, good news for any app that wraps a web view. Android Web View is now driven by Chromium, not the old WebKit, that old browser app. So that just means that apps that have web views embedded in them, which is a lot of them, they get a performance bump. Pages are going to look better. Good for everybody. A new transition framework. Developers can define scenes, a view hierarchy, and transitions, how the scene transforms when a user enters or exits it, resulting it gives you better, smoother animations. So nicer user experience with less work. And finally, this is probably the big one, app indexing. So apps that contain content. So think about something like IMDb or Stack Overflow or Reddit, any kind of Reddit app, any app that contains content within it, Google is going to start indexing content inside of apps so that a user can launch a search result in app. So if a user searches for, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you can open up the IMDb page inside the IMDb app if you have that installed. That's really, really nice for developers. So and Google also published some guidelines on how to make for developers to make their apps content indexable and searchable by them. So interesting move toward native apps, search results opening up native apps there from Google.
So I have wanted this for so long.
Some sort of interoperability between your search and apps. Yeah, I feel like sometimes you see it, but it's always a little kludgy.
It's really hit and miss. Yeah. Because I mean, if I have an app installed and I hit a link, I want it to open in that app. I don't want to go to the mobile web page. That's why I have the app installed. So this, I'm really, really excited. I hope every developer in existence enables this, embraces this feature, and loves it like I do.
and raises it as their own.
Exactly. the open in, basically this lets you skip the open in the app box where you have to choose the app just once, always. Right? So you just tap open in this IMDb or whatever. And so it's a better user experience.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
So you might be wondering, this all sounds wonderful and delicious. When am I going to get it? So the plans for the rollout of KitKat vary by manufacturers. So Motorola announced that the Moto X on all carriers will be getting it. The Droid Ultra, Droid Max, Droid Mini, and developer versions of the Moto X. Sony says that news on their devices will be coming out sometime this week, they say. So we'll see. LG, nothing official has come out yet for LG phones. For HTC, the HTC One Play Edition will have it by the end of November, while the HTC One, the rest of them, will get starting the end of January 2015. Samsung has nothing official has been come out about it. But tipsters are saying that the Note 3 is already testing KitKat, and likely the Play Edition S4 will get it sooner than the rest. And as far as the Nexus 4, 7, and 10, all Google said was soon.
You have to imagine those are going to come before.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, they better.
Yeah, they better. But the interesting thing is that they did confirm that the Galaxy Nexus will not be getting KitKat. And Jason. The reason likely being that Texas Instruments, who built the OMAP SoC in the Galaxy Nexus, is out of the mobile market. They would need to update the drivers and the binaries to make it work, and that's not going to happen. So, yeah. So nothing for the
So, Chad, if you could, cut to my... my camera, my Galaxy Nexus. Well, actually, yeah, the actual one. I wanted to class it up a little bit, so I put a mustache on it. Does that help? Does that bring it into the next?
I don't know. I don't get the correlation.
I don't know. I had a mustache on an earlier show, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I stuck it to the back of my phone.
Well, I'm not going to get the new version of the OS, but I got this fancy mustache. It's
well, you got to admit. I mean, you got to admit. It classes it up.
All right, should have come stock.
Oh man, that's funny.
Sorry. Yeah, so the Galaxy Nexus, it was a big to-do that it wasn't going to get it, but it's
there's always something.
Yeah, and not to mention, I mean the Galaxy Nexus, how old is it now? Two years?
Yeah.
Come on, it's 2 years old and it's a Nexus device. Yes. You should get it. That's BS that it's not getting it.
What about the whole Texas Instruments aspect? Like they would need to make the updates to make this happen,
right? And that's
but they can't because they're not doing this anymore. What about that?
Their problem. That shouldn't be my problem.
Okay.
No, I see your point.
People are getting mad at Google over this, and I mean, it's really not Google's fault. I mean, it's not Google's choice, really. It's TI in this case. They're like, no, we're done.
It just seems
we're done
to,
with this.
It seems to be a loophole. Not a loophole, but the opposite of a loophole. Like
an anti-loophole.
Yeah.
So what we're saying, if I hear you all correctly, which I think I do, what we're saying is Google needs to send everyone with a Galaxy Nexus a mustache. And
it's all going to be all right.
You have no idea. I know we're running late on time, but I've been sitting next to this phone for the whole show. And my point of view, all I've seen has been this. Him holding the phone like this. And all the entire show, I want to be like, dude, you got, there's like dust on the phone. Or there's like a dust bunny or something. You got it like a hairball or something. And then he shows it's a mustache.
That was an intentional hairball on my phone.
How am I supposed to work under these conditions?
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to spring that
like
on
it was
you.
Driving me crazy. All I could see is this little bit of hair.
I wondered if you could see that.
Anyway.
And then real quick, it's a bummer that we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this because it's a really interesting discussion. Ron Amadio, Ars Technica, wrote another interesting piece about the Google search that basically is pushed out with 4.4. And the launcher, the Google Experience launcher, that you see is actually part of search now. There's a separate APK for launcher, but it's kind of more or less an empty shell. All of the code that you're seeing in this launcher is in search. What does that mean? That means that anybody that is part of the OHA and that gets all of the official Google apps, because it's all or nothing from what I understand, gets the alternative launcher shipped on their phone. So Samsung, I would say Motorola, but now they're part of Google, but still Motorola, anyone that has their own custom skin, I would imagine, means that it would be easy for you to go ahead and turn on the alternative launcher. Interesting move.
Very interesting.
Wow. That's kind of a shot across the bow, no?
You think so?
I don't know.
It's a little dramatic.
Well, it's when you think about kind of what Google has said to everybody up until now, which is, yes, customized to all, your heart's content. And now, oh, by the way, we're shoehorning this in so you have our launcher. And everybody that complains about getting the device and not wanting that launcher now has an alternative immediately. Yeah. They always had an alternative. All you had to do is go to Google Play and install something else. But this is coming direct from Google. It's like
it's them trying to control
the Trojan horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a big deal.
Real quickly before we move on, one thing I wanted to note. Somebody in the chat room talked about a little earlier is that they got rid of lock screen widgets in KitKat. And they actually didn't. If you know, so this is KitKat. You still have the camera here, but if we turn it off and go there, you see you can't go to the left anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just the camera. So what happened to the lock screen widgets? It's actually buried in the settings.
Yes, you activate it.
Yeah. So in settings and then under security, under screen security, there's enable widgets. So there you go. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So they made such a big deal about lock screen widgets and then buried them.
So, yeah. So
you can turn them on. Really weird place. We're using them.
Yeah.
It's a really strange place for that setting to be, because I thought the same thing and someone else told me and I was like, what? And that is a really bizarre place for that setting to be hidden. But yeah, I'm glad it's still there because I use lock screen widgets.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, see, I don't really use them a whole lot. All right, let's get the show rolling. Otherwise, we're going to completely run out of time. First, let's thank our sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by iFixit, an amazing resource. iFixit is just, they've been on the internet for such a long time. They have such good teardowns of devices. They're very well known, actually, for their teardowns. Also, they have a fantastic online community. Over 10,000 repair guides for everything from your smartphone, computer, tablet, and game console to your home appliances and even your bike. They just have a bunch of information. And it's, you know, more or less it's like having a free online repair manual for everything. If you shattered your Galaxy screen, you need to repair your laptop or swap the battery on your Galaxy S3, iFixit has you covered. They can even hook you up with the parts you'll need to do it, and everything they sell is tested and guaranteed. iFixit also makes the most trusted repair tools for consumer electronics, including what I have here, the ProTech Toolkit. I'll go ahead and the satisfying Velcro undo here. But it's just an impressive spread of tools that you can use to take apart your devices and fix things yourself. There's just a bunch of stuff in here. They've even got here this whole box filled with all of the different screws and heads and everything
this is going to explode.
I know. But you have everything you need here, and it's just really easy to access. You find, you know, the connector on your phone or your tablet or your computer, how you need to get in there.
And it's got all, like, if you've worked on computers, you know that you're starting to see a lot of, like, torque screws and things like that, really kind of odd kind of things. And it's got all the attachments for those and makes it
Tri-wing bit, for example, swivel top precision driver, just a ton of stuff. It even has a suction cup for taking off your display. So when you're you know, prying your display off, this allows you to kind of attach to the display and pull it right off, lift it right off.
That's very cool.
Just a lot of really cool stuff in here. And it's all packaged really nicely for you, nice and compact. You're going to find everything you need in here to take apart your devices and fix it yourself. That coupled with all the fantastic information that iFixit has on their website. Hobbyists, home DIY fixers, you can use the ProTech Toolkit for, you know, things beyond technology like doorknobs, eyeglasses, cabinet doors, sink fixtures, more. If you're looking for a great addition to an artist or hobbyist tool chest, look no further. I mean, this is prime time. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we're within, you know, range of Christmas time. So if you have a technology lover in your life, this would be a good stocking stuffer. There you go. Best of all, there are thousands of free iFixit guides to help you put your tools to use. The holidays are just around the corner, so this is a perfect gift. Think about it. With iFixit, you can fix it yourself. Visit iFixit.com/twit for a free step-by-step guides of all kinds. iFixit also sells every part and tool you'll need. Plus, if you enter the code AAA at checkout, you'll save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. That's iFixit.com/twit. And enter the code AAA at checkout. And we thank iFixit for their support of All About Android. It's a perfect fit for the show. We've got a lot of tinkers and you know, people that like to take their stuff apart and put it back together again. So check out the kit. It's really awesome stuff. Thank you, iFixit. All right. Let's spend less time on the Nexus 5. Go into hardware. Sure, let's do it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that hardware bump is so updated.
Oh, it's so old.
So, yeah, Nexus 5 happened. How about that?
Uh-huh.
Rolled it out.
Oh, you mean this?
We got one here. So Chad seems to have abandoned us. We've got, in fact, we have, this is Mr. Chad's Nexus 5. Thank you, Chad, for letting us put
absolutely,
it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
that's a good-looking phone right there.
It is a very good-looking phone, and we were talking before the show. I succumbed to the gang rush to the Google Play Store to get one, and I think I lasted all 40 minutes before I ordered when I was like, my phone's fine, and then I'm like, oh, I need this. So, yeah. So I ordered it. Did everybody else? Jason, did you order it?
I ordered it. Get it in 2 days.
I ordered it, not for me, but for one of my developers.
Oh, very kind.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to, yeah, it's killing me that it's not for me, because it's actually going to come to me, and then I'm going to ship it to him.
Yeah,
so I don't know
right.
How I'm going to, like, pass it on without. But yeah.
Cameron?
Oh, yeah, I ordered, I got mine yesterday.
Wow. So Chad, you got yours yesterday?
Yeah, I got it yesterday.
Okay, so Cameron and Chad got it yesterday. Mine's coming on Friday. Yours is coming on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea why. But okay. But here's, I mean, like, I don't know. I ordered the same day as everybody else did. I mean, could it have?
Yeah, but it was like within minutes. Like literally the times were changing within minutes.
That's why I ended up with a 32 gig version and not the 16 version, because the 16 was sold out by the time I got to it. So I
opted for the 32. Yeah.
But so for those of you who didn't hear the specs of this wonderful phone that's going to change our lives, the Nexus 5 has got a 4.95-inch display that's we've got a resolution of 1920 by 1080 with 445 PPI with the Corning Gorilla Glass 3. So it's very nice. I do got to admit, it really looks nice. It looks very, very nice. Mm-hmm. The processor is a 2.3 gigahertz quad core Qualcomm Snapdragon 800 processor. It's got a 1.3 megapixel front camera and 8 megapixel rear facing camera. It's very light. It's only 130 grams. It comes in either flavors of 16 gig or 32 gig, as well as black or white. I opted for black. I thought about white, but then I'm like, I'm going to stick with the black.
Yeah, I went with black. Yeah. I was afraid that the white was going to have some sort of discoloration.
Yeah, me too. Like I was like, until I see it and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, but anyway. But yeah, it's a bigger phone. It's longer than the Nexus 4. I was comparing it to my Nexus 4, and it's the display is a little longer. And it's just sharp. I mean, and so Cameron, Chad, you guys have had it for a day. What are the impressions? Or
I'll let Cameron go first.
I love it. That's pretty much it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it before I actually got it. So I may be a little biased there. I knew I was going to love it. But yeah, it feels great. It's really light. And it's so fast. It's just, I thought, I do this every time I upgrade phones. At first I was like, no, my Nexus 4 is fine. It's still fast. I'm not going to upgrade. Ended up upgrading, and now my Nexus 4 feels slow in comparison. I didn't realize how slow it was until I compared it to the Nexus 5, but I really like it. I love KitKat. Just absolutely love all the new features. Had some issues with AT&T LTE, but got that sorted out earlier today, so that was sort of a weird thing, but overall, it's really great.
I don't feel as bad now that I hear that you had a Nexus 4 too, because I got my Nexus 4. Remember, I got it in March. Like, this is probably the shortest window of phone ownership I've ever had with the Nexus 4.
It's for the job.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. It's a write off.
It's a service to our viewers.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna gazelle the Nexus 4 probably. Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
you could sell that.
Yeah, unless anyone wants it, I'll sell it. I'll sign it. And I'll sell it to you. For the cost of Google
Glass.
You'll
definitely notice that it's a bump. It's an upgrade. I didn't realize it was going to be an upgrade, because to me, the Nexus 4 is still fast. Yeah. And it is still fast. I don't want to make it sound like it's slow. It's just that the Nexus 5 is faster. Mm. So,
and sharper. And LTE-er.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I'm excited for that.
And the fact that it doesn't have a glass back, I'm happy about that.
I definitely just holding it a little bit since we got into the show, it definitely feels, I feel less worried about dropping it as I did my Nexus 4, because I thought that glass was very slick and you could, mm-hmm. But this gives you a little more of a grip as I manhandle Chad's phone.
That's a Nexus 1 in the background? Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So
we have a parade of Nexuses. The order? Okay, so it's that Nexus 1.
Then, wait a minute.
We're missing a Nexus S.
Oh, man.
I should have brought my Nexus S. Yeah,
you guys keep talking. No,
do you have one at your desk? Okay, yeah.
You guys
all right.
Keep talking. I'll be back.
Well, Chad, so what did you think of it?
So far, the big improvements for me are the screen. This is the first 1080 screen that I've lived with on a day-to-day basis. The camera isn't quite as fast as my Galaxy Nexus. I feel like that may have actually been faster. Overall, I was impressed with the speed as you should be with 2 gigabytes of RAM and 1.3 gigahertz processor. And the camera, taking some video with it, I was really impressed with. The screen is definitely more natural in saturation than the other phones that I've seen where they tend to punch up color. But I actually like that. I like that it looks more natural. And there we go. We got the whole group.
Parade of Nexuses.
From the first to the latest.
I'll be honest with you. If they came out with an updated Nexus 1 that was this design, I might use it.
It's so funny.
The Nexus 1 has personality. Like, it just has personality. It really kind of holds up incredibly well, given how old it is.
It really does. I really love that phone. I miss it. It's tiny,
though. I know the ball is, the click ball is a little crazy now, and it does look tiny compared to the other ones.
I got to say, looking at the evolution, they've really gone from, like, unique to about as black slab as you could be possible.
Yeah, just plain black slab.
It's also crazy to think about how big that screen is. It's close to how big the Note 1 screen was. I remember when everyone was just like, that Note screen, it's huge.
Dude,
I can't deal. Why would you ever need that? It's like 0.3 inches away from the Note, the original Note screen now.
Yeah, wow. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today because I recently reviewed a 5.7-inch phone, which in my opinion is too big. But yeah, I was thinking about that, the 5.3-inch on the original Note, and I thought it was huge at the time, and now we're pretty close to that with the Nexus. I think this is a really good size for a phone, though.
Yeah, well, we said 4, what did we say, like 4.7 or whatever was too big? We're like, that's too big. It's like, I remember that going that far back.
Man, it changes. It really does. Desensitized. It's kind of like once your eyes see 1080p, it's really hard to go backwards. Like, now you're going to get used to 5-inch phone, and then it makes a 5.5-inch phone not as crazy. But, I mean, at a certain point, it does get just unwieldy. I don't know. Maybe we've reached that.
Like the Sony Xperia Z Ultra.
Yeah,
I wanted that phone. If they would have released that in America, I probably would have gotten it and not gotten the Nexus 5.
Wow.
Yeah. If they would have.
Yeah, I think they did, didn't they? Didn't they release it like?
They released it like unsubsidized for like $800, and you had to buy it through like a shady store, and like it was weird. It's still not even supported on T-Mobile. Like it's a half release.
It's beautiful though. I saw one, and the screen is gorgeous.
It's really nice.
Sony makes some really, really beautiful devices. I wish they were a little bit more popular.
So the Nexus 5 is here. How do you get it?
sorry. How do you get it? Well, you can order from the Play Store. There's shipping time. Wait, let's start at the beginning. First, it sold out in the first 33 minutes. That's why Ron and I both had to order the 32 gig. The 16 gigabyte black sold out in 33 minutes. And now I believe all versions you can order, but there are ship time. Wait, let me just make sure. I'm going to check the Play Store before I say that. And it's also probably will become available if it's not available already on Amazon. Look, it's right on the front page. Yes, you can order it now. And it leaves a warehouse in 2 to 3 weeks. So it is still available. So it's good. Google's keeping up with demand a little better than they did with the Nexus 4. Just little delays. Now, when I ordered mine, which was a little late, a few hours late, it said, this is might not ship until November 8th. And then I got a shipping notice a few days later. Like, they were setting expectations kind of low, and then they exceeded them. So you might get it a lot sooner than you think. And it is coming to AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile.
The same thing happened to me when I ordered mine. It said it's going to ship on November 8th, and then I got a notice yesterday that it shipped and that I'll have it by November 8th. So I'd rather them, manage expectations in this direction than the other direction. So
absolutely.
And I got to hand it to Google this time. They really used the Nexus 4 launch and looked at everything they did wrong and absolutely did a great job with the Nexus 5 launch. I was able to order mine, within like the first minute. I literally had like 3 browser windows auto refreshing on different pages where I thought it might land. So anyway, I was able to order it like almost immediately, no glitches whatsoever from Wallet. It said it would ship on November 5th, and I literally got a shipping confirmation like 3 hours later that it had already shipped. Hats off to Google for doing it right this time.
Yeah, absolutely. They really needed to prove that they've learned some lessons in how to sell high-demand devices online. And it does seem like this time they've got it figured out. Hopefully that continues because it's
been rocking in the past. The Play Store is the only way to get it. I don't see it on Amazon. And as far as I know, you can't get it in Best Buy or anywhere else. Do I have that right?
I don't know about that. Some people in the chat room are saying it's at Best Buy. Yeah.
And then finally, just the camera seems to be, you know, we're starting to see some comparisons and stuff. We don't need to go into this necessarily, but there, if you go to our show notes I'm suddenly blanking completely on our wiki, twit.tv/AAA. You can find our wiki there and you can take a look at the comparisons of the different camera things. And ultimately what I saw looked pretty decent compared to the Nexus 4 versus the Nexus 5. Of course, the Nexus 4 didn't have an amazing camera to begin with, but there's also some other links here that compare it against all of the big devices right now to kind of see. Looks like low light is kind of an interesting thing with the Nexus 5, and I think maybe that has to do with the HDR mode or something, but things seem a little brighter, and I'm not sure if it's they seem overexposed or if they just seem brighter.
Interesting.
But
It looks as if Best Buy is taking pre-orders on a Sprint version of the phone that will go on sale on November 8th for $149.99 with a 2-year contract at Sprint. Mm-hmm. So
thank you, Ron.
You're welcome. So there you go. And one other question, though, that the chat room is asking a lot about it. Battery life. How is the battery life for you guys that have been using it so far? Have you seen any problems with the batteries or...
I haven't gotten a good representation yet because I only just got the 4G SIM today. And so everything that I've been doing is on Wi-Fi. So far, so good. Does Cameron have a better assessment?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I stay on Wi-Fi pretty much all the time. I think that it's better than the Nexus 4, which is a good thing. I took it off the charger maybe 13 hours ago, and I'm at 60% right now. I did use LTE for a while today. But I haven't really used it a whole lot. Let me see how much screen on time I have just to kind of give an idea.
So it's probably too early to tell, though.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I've only had the screen on for like 40 minutes today. So, yeah, way too early to tell. An initial impression, though, I want to say that it's at least better than the Nexus 4, which is good because my Nexus 4 has really crappy battery life.
Yeah. It really makes you wish there was like a conference or something that you can just go and have day and see what it would be
that
like.
That would be kind of depressing, because, man, that's going to a conference with a device shows you just how bad your battery actually is.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So, the last question, Jason, if you've ordered it, are you leaving Verizon?
Oh, yeah.
No hesitation.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done. I mean, I get it. Yes, I get the device on Thursday. My plan is to figure out all that stuff this weekend.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Nice. So, I mean, I'm giving up unlimited data on Verizon, which I guess is kind of a big deal. But then at the same time, I live so much of my life on Wi-Fi now that it kind of doesn't bug me that much.
All right.
So, whatever.
New phone weekend.
Yay.
New phone, new carrier weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And the beauty of buying
world.
I know, the beauty of buying off contract is I can choose where I go, right?
You can like, also have a new identity.
Where are you going?
I'm actually still thinking about that.
T-Mobile is going to start with a new passport. I know. New family.
Boom, I'm not me anymore. It's a big step to take.
Just to get away from Verizon. That's all it is.
I'm considering T-Mobile. I'm considering Ting. I'm considering AT&T if I have to. I really just want to see what performs well here in Petaluma, which is where I live most of my life. So
yeah. Well, speaking of Ting, I want to take an opportunity to thank Ting for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. You might be asking yourself, what is Ting? Ting is a no BS mobile service. They're an MVNO reseller of the nationwide Sprint network, and they're different than most phone providers out there that you might be aware of. Ting offers no contracts or early termination fees. You're truly and completely contract free, and you can avoid any of those early termination fees or any other BS that the other carriers have. If you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting, they've got your back. They're going to credit you for 25% of your early termination fee up to $75 per device. Simply purchase your new device through Ting, port your number, then submit your final bill with your early termination fee detailed from your previous carrier, and you can go to ting.com/ETF for more information on this program. They've got no bundling or ride-along services. Their rates range from extra small through extra, extra large service levels for voice minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data, all billed separately. You've got no overages or charges or penalties. The other guys charge you if you go over your allocated minutes, texts, or data. If you have a heavier month with Ting, you just pay for what you use. and they've got no add-on charges. So if you've got voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way calling, call forwarding, or any of the other features that are all part of the service, they've got no add-on charges for those. You get no mysterious line items on your bill. Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes they're legally required to collect. No hidden charges, recovery fees, or any other BS. You can have unlimited devices all in one plan. Have as many devices as you want, sharing pooled minutes, messages, and megabytes. Each device on a plan just costs a flat $6 per month. And they give you a powerful online control panel where you can take control of your account, monitor usage and bills in all in one spot. It really is a sight to be seen. And if you need some help, they've got no-hold customer support. Just call them at 1-855-TING-FTW. That's 1-855-TING-FTW. Anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and a real person picks up the phone and will help you. If you don't like talking to people, that's okay. They've got awesome online support. You just go to help.ting.com, and they've got active customer forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, and video startup guides, and much more to make your transition to Ting that much easier. So here's how it's going to work, all right? Purchase your mobile device from Ting, which you'll receive in 2 to 5 business days. Then activate your device with Ting, and you have the option to select a new phone number or port an existing number. Ting will break your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes, and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. It really is revolutionary, and it's a whole new way to approach your phone service. So go visit Ting today at allaboutandroid.ting.com. You can save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out their savings calculator and see how much you or your company can save. And what's even better, since you're a loyal All About Android viewer, you're going to save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. So go to allaboutandroid.ting.com and start saving today. And thank you for supporting this episode of All About Android, Ting.
Thank you, Ting. You're awesome.
Yeah.
We don't need to tell you. You already know.
Yeah.
But we'll tell you anyways. You're awesome. Before we get into the arena, it is imperative that we point something out to you.
Absolutely imperative.
This is awesome.
There is a game that is currently in development that could change the way you game forever.
It'll change the world.
It'll change the world. Matthew Holtzum posted in the All About Android community on Google Plus and said, "Hey, All About Android listeners, I've recently been working on a title, a little game that pays homage to this awesome podcast. It's a 2D endless runner. What makes it awesome is that it features the host. So All About Android has awesome Android themed power-ups. Here's a video of gameplay footage. Keep in mind, this is a work in progress. It's alpha." And
hey, there I am.
Hey, there you are, Ron.
He doesn't have my parrot though. Hey, there we are.
Hey, there we are. You can choose your host. It's an endless runner. So you run along, you know, you jump over obstacles, you slide under ones. In this video, you're collecting gems. Currently, he has this so that you're collecting the different fruit releases.
Oh, that's cool. That's clever.
And there is... Oh, so this is an NFC power-up. There is a Google Glass power-up coming up that lets you shoot through things. Seriously, you have to go to there's Project Moon. Moon, the balloon. I mean, this is just awesome.
This is amazing.
So Matthew posted this in the community, and immediately people, you know, are a combination of, oh my god, that's so awesome, and oh, what you should do is blah blah blah. He has plenty of ideas to work on. If you think of something you think would be valuable to him, post it there. But I want Matthew to know you do not have to take any of our ideas. Yes. We'd rather you create the game you want to create. But you know, if you want a Matthias Duarte mode where you pick it up and suddenly your shirt gets all colorful and you get some magic power, go for it.
Well, I would think that's some I know it's an endless runner, but there's got to be some arena level where you fall into an arena and you've got to navigate. That was my only feedback where I'm like, you've got to have an arena. Come on, man.
The arena's big. So anyways.
Yeah. Thumb ring mode.
Thumb ring
mode. Yes.
Good job, Joseph, in the chat room with thumb ring mode. Very good.
I have the power.
Love this. I just want to thank Matthew. Really cool, like bucket list moment of like, oh, become a video game character.
It's so awesome.
So cool.
It's so cool. So anyways, it's not in the Play Store yet. Don't go searching for it. But Matthew is working on it. And you better believe when it's ready, we're going to tell you about it. So,
and I feel
tuned.
Like it's exempt from the arena. You can't bring it to the arena, Jason. Let's just get it out there now.
All right. That one time. Not an obvious
not-arena
pick
to the home
arena.
Crowd, right?
So. That was a bad move, I admit. Speaking of the arena, let's do it.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena!
Before we do that, Monkey DKS said, what about an OMG Chad host? I think there should be a Minecraft level where you're Chad and you're in like a Minecraft world.
I think that after you die, like I come in and I go, blah, 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 and here's your stats on how you did, blah, blah, blah. And then I go away.
You, you come in and you dig a hole in the ground and that's where like your dead body is,
put into.
Boy, so this is getting morbid. We could do a whole show about what this is.
Seriously.
Who won last week?
The limitations are endless in this game. last week, let's see, first place, 41%, Molto Ron Richards.
It's been a while. It's been a long time since I pulled the victory out. And this was a close one. I got worried. This morning I checked and I saw, and it was like by what, like 3%?
I was so confident that the Plants vs. Zombies, I was knocked down a few pegs tonight when I checked this. I was like, what?
Yeah, that shows you how nice of an app Molto is. If you haven't checked it out, check it out for email. It's a very nice app.
I thought Plants vs. Zombies were a total gimme, so congratulations. You earned that one. I was like, that's a good win right there.
What, Chad?
Sorry, I was trying to give Ron the silent stop tapping on the microphone with your fingers.
Sorry. Oh. I didn't know that you were doing this is stop tapping.
It's like tapping, this, I'm like, stop
I'm not
it.
Running anywhere.
Tapping, stop.
Don't worry, we're not going to run away.
I'm sorry, everyone.
All right, so Ron, you win.
I was very excited I won. I'm sorry. Okay, there
you
go.
No, it was fantastic.
That means I go last.
It was well won. So I have I told you I had a confession to make about the arena. This is the first and only time I've ever had to do this. I did not have a pick at all. So I picked one that was on my to check out list. Yeah. We're all going to experience this one together for the first time.
So it took
It's good enough, though, for that.
It took 134 episodes for you to not have one ready.
I had a lot to do today. There was a lot of show notes to write up for this damn show.
It's okay. You are allowed, Jason. So, you're allowed.
So
you
picked, earned it. I picked one that might speak for itself. Let's hope it does. It's called Robot Unicorn Attack 2. And it's a game. If you,
I can't. Yeah, turn that up.
Here, I'll turn it up.
There you go.
You're basically you're a unicorn, and you jump. You can jump into the air and collect bonuses. You can dash, but really, you know, you're a unicorn, and you've got sparkly unicorn flowing mane, and you got to time it all right. Okay, I'm absolutely horrible. The graphics are top of the line, top notch graphics here. But it's basically it's an endless runner as well. And from what I understand from the one demo video that I saw before I picked it, you know, you can jump into the sky. I think you can jump up to 2 times and then dash, and that'll push you through. And, you know, you get really high up into the sky if you time it right. Anyways, it's unicorns. It's an endless runner. It might not be the best week to pick an endless runner because it's up against the All About Android endless runner game. But it's unicorns, or whatever that's worth.
I just want to point out that song is crap. If you're a Robot Unicorn Attack player, this is what you should expect from that song, is the... Do you not know the backstory of this? I guess with that preamble ahead of time.
Wow, this fell flat on the
I'm winning this week.
Sorry.
This is wow.
You can hear Jerry in the background screaming at you.
This is absolute nonsense. So the first... Robot Unicorn one had that song on an endless loop. It was just this ridiculous. You go play it. Come on, I don't know why I never stopped playing. And so it was just this endless runner with this song over and over and over again. And at first you're like, this is the worst thing ever.
And then
you realize it's the best thing ever, and you never want to play any other game. The fact that any Robot Unicorn game was released without this song is a travesty.
Okay.
That's
this is a pretty darn good song. I remember this song from when I was a kid, I think.
Yes.
For 80s.
Yeah. No, I remember this song. Yeah, okay, there we go. All right, so I'm not winning.
All right.
I'm not winning this week. Who wants to win? Gina, are you up next?
Sure. I think I'm up next. Look, I'm going to be honest. I had a kind of busy week, too. So I picked an app, though, that's kind of... kind of useful. So here's the deal. I cook in the kitchen, but following recipes, right? Because I don't know how to cook. But I always have my recipes like up on my tablet, which I have propped up on my kitchen counter while I've got like oven mitts on and my hands are wet and whatever. And my screen always goes dark when it shouldn't go dark. So then I started setting it to not, you know, the screen to just stay awake all the time, right? But then I'd forget to set it back and I just lose battery. This is why I chose this week an app called Stay Alive. Very, very, very simple app. all it does is let you set your device to keep your screens alive on a per app basis. And there's all kinds of cool settings that you can choose as well. You can say, you know, I keep my recipes in Evernote. So, okay, if Evernote's up, keep the screen awake, but let it dim. Just keep it up until my battery hits 15%. At that point, you know, disable it. You could set the behavior for the screen to stay alive based on whether your device is in the car dock or on the desktop. You could say keep the screen alive if it's on AC or USB power. Uh-oh, was that a was that an app crash?
I blame my phone more than your app on that. Yeah.
So really simple app. You install it, you run it. It's in your notification shade. All it is a setting panel where you say, this is when I want my screen to stay alive, and this is when I don't. For me, I just said keep the screen alive for selected apps. For you know, the for me, like I said, I keep my recipes in Evernote, so keep it alive when I'm in Evernote and I'm cooking. Really helps. And it just keeps crashing. This is a terrible demo, but it actually works really well. And like I said, it's literally just a settings panel that lets you say this is when my screen should stay alive and this is when it shouldn't. Just came in really useful. One of these kind of like super simple utilities that just takes care of this, you know, one particular problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't blame your app. I'm pretty sure it's the ROM that I'm running right now because it's been really weird. But stay alive on a per app basis. You can set the screen on. That's actually really really handy because there are definite apps that you need that with, and that's frustrating right. When that doesn't happen.
So video players and music players, like video players often just stay, you know, stay up, you know, by design, or like the Kindle app or reading apps, but some apps that aren't obvious, that aren't, you know, inherent, that aren't set up to stay, to keep your device awake. This works really well for. So if you've got oven mitts and you're cooking and your tablet goes dark and you like can't wake it up by yourself, that this is the app that you want.
Excellent. So that is Stay Alive.
I had to do it.
Nice.
Hey, I've got that other song, that Eraser song, which, by the way, Erasure. Somebody in the chat room pointed out you can buy that on this version too. So,
oh, okay. Vote so there you go. So Justin, his concern is
kind of. Yeah. Wait, is it an in-app purchase? Is that what you're saying? I'm looking for it. I can't find it, okay. But apparently you can. See?
Good.
I immediately rescind my protest. I apologize to the makers of Robot Unicorn.
Two.
Excellent. All right. Cameron, what you got? I'll try and keep up and show it off for you.
Okay. So my app is Saga Life Logging. It's basically a really simple tool that when I first saw, I thought it was a cool idea, but then actually when I started using it, I say using it, after I installed it and started looking at it, I found that it was actually really cool. So basically you install it, it sits in the background, and it basically tracks where you are and where you're going, but it's only visible to you. So it's all private data. It's life logging for you. So it's like your own personal social network, which is, I know it sounds kind of weird and maybe slightly stupid, but it's actually pretty neat. So it knows when you're home and it knows when you're at work. And that's the bad part is I work from home. So work and home are the same thing. So it gets kind of confused for me, but for people who don't work from home, it'll know, you know, you can tell it, you can set your work, you can set your home. And then when you go somewhere, it tracks, when you drive somewhere, how long you've been driving, or if you walk, or if you're, however, whatever your mode of transportation is, it keeps up with that. And when you say you go to a store for a little while, it will obviously lock on and know that you're at that store, and it will keep it in, keep it stored. So you can like look through and know where you've been, when you went. You know, it's just kind of cool. You can take pictures and then attach them to particular events and particular days. You can connect it to tons of other social networks. Like I have mine connected to Twitter, so it saves all my tweets and shows which days I tweeted what, where I was when I tweeted. Facebook, Google+, Instagram, and Runkeeper. I have it, so it keeps track of all my social activities. And again, it's only for me to go back and see. So it's kind of cool. So I can go back and look and say I was at this place on this day and I Instagrammed two pictures and, you know, I don't know. I just, it's a really neat way to keep track and to go back and kind of remember what you're doing or what, you know, what you've done. And I don't know. I really like it. It also starts to, after a while of using it, it sort of gets to know you, I want to say, and tells you things that it finds about you. And then if it's wrong, you can say, no, this isn't right. This isn't me. Because it's not always 100% accurate. But yeah, it's just really cool. It doesn't use, I haven't noticed any difference in battery when I started using it. Yeah, there's right there on the screen now is a bunch of the apps you can connect to it. Like I said, I only have like 5 or 6, but there are like 20. So, yeah, it's really neat. And it knows, like, if I put that I cycled for 20 miles in Runkeeper, then Saga knows that I wasn't driving to a particular location. I was out cycling for 20 miles. And so it's pretty cool. Just a cool way to keep up with basically everything. And I really like it. Just randomly, I'll pop it open and just start scrolling through and looking. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot I did this one particular thing on this day. So it's just really neat.
Cool. It's awesome. Cool. Saga, cool. Automatic life logging. All and right. That is free in the Play Store as well. Awesome.
All right. So
now returning champion.
My app, touching upon something we talked about earlier in KitKat, but also similar to Saga from Cameron. It's an app called Moves. And basically, a lot of my friends have got the Nike Fuel Band and the Fitbit bracelet and all that sort of stuff, and they're keeping track. And when I was talking to one of my friends, there's a Fitbit, and he's like, yeah, well, I keep track of my steps. And, you know, if I walk 10,000 steps in a day, then I'll lose weight. And I find that a dubious plan. But still, there's something about that pedometer. A lot of people use pedometers, that sort of thing. You can save money. You don't need to buy a Fitbit or any of that stuff. You just download Moves for free in the Google Play Store, and it basically uses your phone to be your pedometer. And it's really simple, and it's actually really kind of elegant in the way it does it. So open it up here. It's got a nice little kind of infographic kind of approach to it. Here in green, it shows me how many steps I've walked today, which is 2,349, and how many steps I've run, 290. If you tap on each dot, it will change the information it shows. So I walked a mile, and I ran 0.1 miles. And it also tells you the time. So I walked for 21 minutes, and I ran for 3 minutes. But what's interesting here also is that it also keeps track. It uses GPS and Wi-Fi scanning to pick up your location. So, you know, here at 5:50 in the morning, it picked up that I was at home, and then I walked 5 minutes, and I went to a place in San Francisco, which is the gym, and I went to the gym. I actually had the phone off to the side, so it didn't count my running when I was at the gym, which is kind of funny. Ironic. But and then I walked back from the gym, back to home, and then I walked to the BART station, and it actually smartly picked up the 24 minutes that I was on BART and associated that as transport, where the phone wasn't, the accelerometer wasn't moving or the gyroscope wasn't moving, so I wasn't walking, but it picked up that I was traveling distance, which I think is interesting. And then I ran to my office because I was late. So it gives you a nice kind of visual. I just want to show running, but it gives you a nice kind of visual representation of how you're spending those paths. And then what's also interesting is that you can, if we can go back to the app, Chad, you know, if there are places you go to a lot. If I just tap on a place in San Francisco, it will go back into the map, and I can hit that little pencil and I can say, okay, this is the gym, or it will go to Foursquare and picks up the Beer Garden and Smitten. These are places that are not like the gym, the Beer Garden, Smitten ice cream. But you can, and so that way you can have it save the places you tend to go often, so you don't even need to update it to tell you where you're going. So much like Saga and with Cameron's app, it kind of gives you a log of where you've been, but also in the context of how many steps you take in a pedometer kind of approach and that sort of thing. It's pretty neat for you info junkies. You can also add in cycling. So for bicyclists, the blue line is for cycling. Totally
so
free.
This is passive? Like it just works. You don't have to do anything.
Yep. All you gotta do is just put your phone in your pocket. That's all you gotta do.
That is awesome. Yep. Totally installing that.
There you go. Got Cameron's cool seal of approval. That's what he's voting for. So. So.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's Moves and it's free in the Google Play Store, and it doesn't have music.
But and it's pretty.
Yeah, I just downloaded the theme song, The NeverEnding Story, on...
Stop it, don't. I don't want to hear it. Oh, my God. That's like an earworm.
Close your eyes.
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Turn
off.
That's not the song, though. That's just the other different song.
No, that's NeverEnding Story. They have a whole catalog of music one? You can purchase, but oh, you can purchase weird. The Erasure song. So it's there. So, yes! I don't know why it was $4 for that song and it was 99 cents for NeverEnding Story. But anyways.
Which is,
We have run out of time.
Unicorn Attack is winning by a lot.
What? Oh. Really?
Shocking.
I'm not sure. I didn't expect.
Solid lead. All right. Solid lead.
Well, we'll see where that ends up. You can vote for your favorite app, AAApoll.com/134, AAApoll.com/134. Let us know which is your favorite app/game of the week. And we will check in on that next week and see what happens. It's between Erasure and Staying Alive.
Oh, look at moves. Wow, okay. Oh, wow. Wow, that's very even.
Yeah. We'll see where this ends up. This could be awesome. I know we have some hard outs in a few minutes, so... unfortunately, we have to wrap this up right now, but it's been a fantastic episode. And Cameron Summerson, thank you so much for joining us. It was awesome having you on the show today.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. This is your opportunity to tell people what you want them to know, what you're working on, where they can find your work.
Android Police, androidpolice.com. You can find me on Twitter @Summerson, Google Plus. That would be Google/+ Cameron Summerson.
Fantastic. Follow his work, Android Police. Just every day I read Android Police, and I love the work you guys are doing. So thank you for giving us lots of cool stuff to talk about on the show. Gina, what you got?
I'm working on a thing called ThinkUp. Go check it out, thinkup.com. We're running a crowdfunding campaign. We just reached our goal. We're getting ready to announce a stretch goal actually tomorrow morning, which is really exciting. And otherwise, you can find me at ginatrepenny.org. All the links, all the things. And I also co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. So you should come watch me and Leo and Jeff talk through the Google stuff tomorrow afternoon.
Cool. Do that. Ron, how about you?
About.me/RonXO. That's all you need.
Oh, boom. Boom.
Nice.
Gravity. Authority.
Efficient.
And Chad?
So for me, of course, you can, I switch this show. I do other shows, Minecraft shows and YouTube shows. You know, all you guys have your fancy Google Plus vanity URLs, so I definitely want to share my URL as well. It's pretty simple. I need to switch my lower third in a second. There we go. plus.google.com/1018. Anyway, it's on the URL below. You can just find me there. It's simple.
Piece of cake.
A piece of cake. And,
good vanity URL.
Still waiting on that vanity URL. Google to allow me to get plus.omgchad. Thanks.
That URL. Chad with the bit.
I don't know. It's not a bit. This is my URL at the time. What are you talking about? This is my life, Ron. This is what I have to live with. Jason, what's going on with you?
Boy, I have to recollect myself.
Wow, yeah.
About.me/JasonHowell, or you can find me on Google Plus. I'm at +JasonHowell, yellowgoldmusic.com. That's about it. That is it. Before we go, real quick, Twit survey. Fill out a survey. Let us know what you're liking on the network, ways that we can improve. Go to twit.tv/survey. Honestly, it does not take very long at all, and it's really helpful to us if you fill out kind of a few questions and let us know what you think about the shows and what you're watching and what you're not watching. It's all really valuable. twit.tv/survey. But that's it for this week. I want to give a big thanks to FC Mugen in the subreddit for posting a link to a story that made it into the security discussion from our subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Awesome stuff there. Everybody, more action going on in Reddit, so keep it up. Voicemails, 347-SHOW-AAA. Emails and video mails to aaa@twit.tv. The show can be found on Twitter @AndroidShow. Show notes for past episodes and, you know, all that kind of stuff can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find all of our back episodes, as well as current episodes, on YouTube and iTunes. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Just going to take all these devices and go.
I gotta run, you guys. I love you all. Thanks, Cameron.
Bye, Gina.
Bye, Gina.
See you next week. See you tomorrow, Chad.